Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
Here.
Councilmember Morgan?
Here.
Councilmember Weber?
Present.
Councilmember Pepper?
Well, thank you for having us. Is that better? And it's on? Okay. Oh, that one might not be. Mine's on.
Okay.
Is that better? Oh,
yeah,
there we go.
There we go.
To be honest, I can probably fill the room with my voice, so I'll move that back just a little bit. So thank you very much for having us today. Wendy and I are here today, and what we wanted to just kind of go over is really talk a little bit about our office. We're going to talk about the financial statement audit that we did perform, and just kind of really, more or less, we want to kind of give you an overview. One of the things that didn't happen for this audit was you guys did not have an entrance conference. And that's one of the things where we just kind of go over our office. And so we kind of, Wendy and I got together ahead of time, and we decided we're going to do our exit conference a little different. We're going to give you all that background and information. So just a little bit about the State Auditor's Office. You know, our mission and our goal is to make sure that we are helping, you know, state and local governments be accountable. And one of the ways that we do that, and I guess the real important thing that the message that I really want to make sure that you all take away today is that we really want to partner with our local governments. We want to be a resource. We want us to use our office because we do have a lot of expertise in this area. Just as far as, you know, one of the things that we are much like, you know, a CPA firm in some ways, but one of the ways that we're very unique is we only audit state and local government. That is 100% where our expertise lies, and that is what we do year-round. And so there is a lot of that to be said, that the knowledge that we have, it can be very useful. The other thing that we want to make sure is that we, you know, when we partner with you, we're helping you to ensure that, you know, you're meeting the expectations of your citizens and that you're, you know, being open and transparent as well. So as far as our office is concerned, state law does require that state and local governments are audited on, you know, on a frequent basis by our office. And there's various audits that we perform, the first of which is an accountability audit. And that is, just to kind of clarify, and we are in the process of doing one here, is when we do an accountability audit, we look at your overall operations. There's a lot of things we take into consideration when we're doing our planning. And what we do is we use a risk-based approach. So when we come in and look at those things, we are not looking at 100% of your operations. We're just looking at certain areas. And from time to time, statewide, we audit all the cities and all the towns. And so we have what we call, you know, kind of statewide areas that we're going to focus in on. Sometimes it's something like cost allocation, or it's how are you handling your fixed assets, or it's looking at how you do your bid loss. So that's something that we try to do on a consistent basis, and those change from year to year. So our focus and where we're looking changes. The other thing, there's a lot of other things that come into play to determine that too. But we're really looking at areas for misuse, and we also want to make sure you're in compliance with state laws and regulations. So that's kind of what that audit covers. The next is a financial statement audit, and that is what we're exiting on today. And that is where we're looking at, obviously, your internal controls over your financial reporting and those major amounts in your financial statements and looking at those controls. The other thing that we look at is sometimes you might have large contracts or bigger, you know, things going on within your organization. And if they are big and material, we need to look at those contracts to ensure that they're also in compliance with state law. So that's something else we look at during that. The other thing that's important to know is our office is also tasked with one other additional thing, and that is also coming up with how all the entities should be reporting their information. So our office creates basically a budgeting, accounting, and reporting standards manual. And what that is it basically has a lot of very useful information on internal controls in various, you know, areas like cash receiving, payroll, expenditures, really best practices, guidance to help you with all those areas. And additionally, it tells you what types of codes you need to use in your accounting system, whether it's our office. So our office is also compiling all this data, and on an annual basis, you as an entity are reporting all this information to us, and that's all compiled, and a lot of that information goes to the legislature to use. You know, they want to know how a certain tax is being used, or they want to know how a certain revenue is being used across the state of Washington. So we collect all that information, and it's available to the public. Anyone can look at it. But again, it's also it's out there, and it's required by law that we are doing that. So that can be very useful. We also, again, to make sure everyone knows and understands, we have a lot of guidance and a lot of training that is provided by our office. And we, you know, and we'll talk at the end a little bit about our two teams that do that. But ultimately, our ultimate goal is to help however we can to make sure that you have all the proper reporting. Are there any questions on that audit? All right. The other audit that we perform is a single audit, a federal single audit. And what that is if your city receives in excess of $750,000 in federal funds, we would come out and do a federal single audit. I don't know where you're at, and I know you did not have one this year. But again, if that were the case, we would do that. Now, that is an audit that has a real strict time requirement. We're required to get that done within 9 months after your fiscal year ends. But that's another one. The other thing that's important to realize that our office also does is we also come and investigate frauds. So if there is a fraud or if your entity or if you suspect fraud at the city, you want to give us a call. We have a lot of people in our office, and they're trained, and their full-time job is really just dealing with frauds in public government. And on each of the local teams, which, again, Wendy is in charge of one of them, we also have fraud specialists. So when a fraud does occur, they will be the ones to come out and perform that work. Additionally, we have a citizen hotline, and that also can guide where we're looking at in an audit. Now, a citizen hotline comes in. That doesn't necessarily 100% mean that we will be looking at it, but in a lot of cases, if it falls within our authority and it is an area of focus, obviously it's an area of a citizen concern, we will incorporate that into our accountability or financial or our federal audit, whichever one it closely aligns with. So that's just an overview of those areas. The other thing I just wanted to, you know, I was talking about statewide. So on my way here, mm-hmm. Wendy, I had to count because it changes and it's in flux. We have 13 local teams, much like Wendy is in charge of, and most of Wendy's audits are here in South King County, but we have 13 teams across the state of Washington, and you know, we're all doing this type of work. Additionally, within our office in Olympia, we have 3 state teams and our performance audit team as well. And so the majority of our staff does work out of Olympia, but we are all over the state. So we also try to make sure that we are consistent in how we're reporting, and we run those through our consistency. So again, that's kind of an overview on our office. Before I hand it over to Wendy, are there any questions? Okay. And again, we'll go into some of our resources.
And then I just wanted to just take a moment to talk about just how our audit process works as a local team when we're here to perform the audit of the City of Black Diamond, for example. So as Sadie mentioned, we provide reasonable assurance that, for example, the financial statement balances are fairly presented in all material respects, but not absolute assurance. So what that means is we don't review every single transaction or contract or every financial statement account balance. But what we do during our audit, in the beginning, we have what we call the planning process. And that's where we look at the city's raw data downloads that we've received for revenues and expenditures. We review the meeting minutes from our audit scope. So, for example, for financial statements, our audit period was January 1st, 2013 to December 31st, 2014. We do a 2-year financial statement audit. We review the meeting minutes for those 2 years up to current. And that coupled with also just conversations we have with our audit liaison and staff and the governing body, we then determine what is our audit plan for the current year. We have a budget that we have with the city, so it does mean that we perform what's called a risk-based audit. We're based on our planning procedures that we've just gone through, we'll identify what areas we will look at with the current audit budget that we have. And so with that said, I also wanted to talk about, for our, like Sadie mentioned, we're just going to discuss the results of our financial statement audit. We are in the process of our accountability audit. Originally, we had a 2013-2014 accountability audit and then have decided to extend it to include fiscal year 2015 into the review. So that audit for the accountability piece is still in progress. We are hoping to have that finished probably by around July or so. Okay. And so what I'd like to do is just bring your attention to the, in front of you, the first document is the exit conference agenda. And what I'd like to do is offer some audit highlights as well. We do want to thank the staff. We worked very closely with the finance department, especially May as our audit liaison. The staff here at the City of Black Diamond have been very responsive and cooperative as far as getting the requests that we need in a timely manner. So we do really appreciate that. I also wanted to note that when we were on site, if there were any recommendations, even if it was just housekeeping items that our auditor, Brandy Bro, is our auditor in charge. She was the one that was actually here performing the field work. If there are any just even comments or housekeeping items that Brandy had mentioned, we did notice that May was quick to address any recommendations that we had. It seems like, you know, if there was a comment by that day, there was already some action that had been taken place and discussing among your staff. So we thank you for that. And then we do recognize that we have a good working relationship here at the city. And so we thank you for your commitment to continuing to build that relationship. You know, as Sadie mentioned, you know, we are auditors. We're written in by statutory requirements to come and audit our government municipalities. So it is very nice to have a positive, collaborative working relationship. So that is always something that we look forward to. On the audit scope piece, which is on the page one of your agenda, I just made a comment about the accountability audit, where I state that it's still in progress because we have extended to include fiscal year 2015. After the accountability audit is done, we will schedule a similar exit conference like this, where we will meet once again with management and governing body to discuss the results of the accountability audit. For the financial statement piece, I just wanted to bring to your attention the packet that is attached is our draft financial statement report. We are pleased to report there were no material misstatements that were identified during the audit that had to be corrected by the city. If there were any material misstatements, we would be required to communicate that to the board. And we did just have one minor uncorrected misstatement, but we would agree with the city, with management, not to make those corrections because it did not interfere with our ability to provide what we call a clean or unmodified opinion on the financial statement. So what I'd like to do is just bring your attention to the second document, and it's the draft financial statement audit report. And what I'd like to do is I can leave it up to you. If you'd like, I can go over the pages that are in the report, or I wanted to especially flag the piece in yellow because that is the opinion that we give on the financial statements, and that really is kind of the kudos to the city for all your hard work the last 2 years to ensure that these financial statements are fairly presented. Okay. So we can go to the yellow flag first, if you'd like. And I just wanted to bring your attention to, it has that section called unmodified opinion. And that is the clean opinion that we are providing. And our audit reports are issued to the public. They're available on our website. And this is that key part of our audit report that the users will go to because that is the opinion you want to see. That shows that in all material respects, the financial statements for fiscal year 2013 and 2014 were fairly presented, and as a result, we can give that unmodified or clean opinion. The rest of the report talks more about the auditing standards that we apply and more about different types of processes and terms that we have. We also in the report talk about how we don't review every transaction, so we provide that reasonable assurance. Since it is a clean audit for the financial statement piece, it's more the standard verbiage to comply with auditing standards. Any questions so far?
So one thing I also want to point out, you are a cash basis entity.
Yes.
And that was, that's what I want to talk about. Because if you look on that page with the tab, basically we've given you an unmodified opinion on your regulatory basis of accounting. In the state of Washington, It is fine and okay for you to be cash basis. So the American Institute of CPAs, or Certified Public Accountants, basically basically says if a public entity does not report following, you know, the governmental auditing standards, but basically generally accepted accounting principles, then you cannot have a clean opinion. Okay. But in the state of Washington, it is fine to be cash basis. And to be honest, I would never suggest someone go to that more complex type of accounting. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. And it is a drastic increase in your audit costs to do GAAP reporting. Now, the reason, and it's fine, and one of the things that happened was, it was one of those things where we were basically, bystanders are required to give you an adverse opinion on you not reporting on a GAAP basis. The first thing we did before we even got this far was we checked with every bond issuing agency, and there is no issue from any of them if you are doing cash basis or not. What they want is timely financial reporting, whether it's cash or whether it's GAAP or whatever, if you do another type of accounting, they just want timely reporting. And so we made sure of that before we allowed a lot of our local governments. I got to sit through one of our presentations the other day that our local government support team did, and 70% of the governments in the state of Washington are cash basis. I was like, that was fun. I love stats like that and just to know these fun facts. So, you know, again, this is, it's not an anomaly. It's just that I wanted to really just go into, so we are required to say, you know, there's basis for adverse opinion on your compliance with that. But this modified above, you are fine to report that way because in the state of Washington, the state auditor is fine with you reporting on that. So, the other thing, too, is within our systems, and I would actually say for our cash-based entities, we probably have more support than we do for our GAAP basis. Basically, at this point in time, when you get all of your financial information into our system and you fill out what we call a Schedule 1, it will create your financial statements pretty much for you. And so that we're doing whatever we can. Again, this is a way that we can help and assist and reduce your, you know, financial, you know, all the requirements to create those financial statements. So I just wanted to make sure that we spoke to, because we say unmodified, and then below it says that there's an adverse opinion. And that's okay. And it's just based only because you have elected to be cash basis versus doing the GAAP report. Are there any questions on that?
And so then back to the exit agenda, which was that first packet that was at the top. On page 2, our office, we have 3 levels of reporting. So under recommendations, not included in the audit report, we have what the highest level of reporting is, what we refer to as a finding. Those are items that we feel are significant enough, whether it's a significant noncompliance or significant weakness, to be disclosed in detail in our audit report, which is issued to the public. We have what we also, second level down, is what we call management letter items. Items that we still feel are significant enough, it may not elevate to disclosing in full detail in our audit report, but still important enough to disclose in a formal memo to the governing body. Management letters, if it goes unresolved, can't elevate to a finding in the following audit. And then what we have next, lowest level reporting, are exit items. Those are more housekeeping items. As we're space auditors, we are out here, and as we are auditing each of our clients, there can be useful information of ways to maybe strengthen or improve a certain process that the city may have, but change is always a good thing. And so exit items, more housekeeping items, referenced nowhere in our audit report. And so for the current audit for the City of Black Diamond for financial statements, you'll see there's just one uncorrected misstatement on the financial statements, and that's that last single sheet that you have on the back. And these, any financial statement recommendations, we also just have to identify also as an exit item. But, you know, here you have your fiduciary fund resources and uses of cash transactions. In 2012, we had a change to our BARS manual, the Accounting Reporting Standards Manual, where if a client had any clearing funds, those did not have to be disclosed in the financial statements anymore. They can be removed. And so we just had identified that for 2013 and 2014, the city has your 2 clearing funds. They were included in the financial statements, but it's okay. It didn't affect the opinion on the financial statements and how it was presented. It wasn't as if information was omitted or left off. It was just instead a little extra was included that was included, required to be prior to 2012. So we just have these two as uncorrected misstatements, but immaterial that we would agree if management chose not to correct it, we would be okay with that because we can still provide that unmodified opinion. Any questions so far?
And I believe that when they discovered this, we had also already discovered this and corrected this with the Department of Revenue and had cleared out these funds. We had already taken action before they even did the audit.
Okay. So good. It is. Yeah. It is, and it's exactly. Right, so what it would just mean in 2013 and 2014, there really was no activity in the clearing funds. It just was the cash that was sitting there in the balance, and now it sounds like it's been taken care of. And
we worked out with the Department of Revenue Auditor's Office on unclaimed property, and their audit office worked closely with us, and we were able to clear out these funds, remit some to them, and then some were voided.
This is kind of like checks that didn't get reported. This is basically what it is.
Right.
Unclaimed check that we had not taken off the books. So then what they did is they went to find out if they could find the people that the checks belonged to, or either issuing the check or to give it to the Department of Revenue, and they tried to
go to unclaimed property.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm.
Then your name
shows up.
Yeah, so
on the list, on the website.
So basically, they were owed a refund from the city, and now it's on unclaimed property. Right. It's something they could look up online, and Department of Revenue is making that money.
And it had been recorded before 2009 when we bought our Vision County. Most of the entries were 2004, and it had been okay to report that, and so we got it cleared. But we decided to go ahead and clear it. Before they came in and did the audit, we had already cleared that.
And you know, we audit, we are an after-the-fact auditor. So, for example, we, for the current audit for financial statements, we're auditing the 2013 and 2014 fiscal year. And so, yes, and so typically, you know, in this case, especially when we're here on site performing the audit, sometimes some of these items have already been taken care of and resolved. So if there are no other questions, we'll just go to the exit agenda and just wrap up with some concluding comments that we had. Just wanted to let you know our audit reports, they are issued on our website, so it's available to the public. So on the back of page 2, we have the concluding comments report publication. We just wanted to provide our website where you can go to. It's our internet website under report publications, where you can go to and be able to do searches for our audit reports, not just for City of Black Diamond, but really for any of our government municipalities.
Yeah. And so additionally, the other thing, and we kind of have the sign up here and the log on, and you know, I'm not sure who the city is, kind of manages that. But the other thing that we do on a quarterly basis is we issue an audit connections newsletter. And one of that things that that does is it kind of highlights areas that you may want to be looking at or, you know, things like kind of emerging issues for the state auditor's office, things that we're seeing statewide. Like one of the areas we've seen a lot of increase on is cybersecurity and those types of risks. So it kind of highlights those areas or what we're hearing from the bonding industry or just kind of general information, and ultimately also provides input on when and where we're providing training. So it's a really useful resource. I would recommend going there. Even on our website in general, if you just go in there and click on local government, you're going to be linked to a lot of information that is available to you and a lot of helpful information.
And what's nice with our agency, too, is some of the training that we have available on our website, they're free, but they're also even 15-minute videos because we also recognize that everyone's time is valuable. So being able to have a free training but let it be something about 15 minutes, it really can help maximize your time and get some very useful information about our agency. So under audit costs, we had at the beginning the audit estimated that audit costs would be approximately $45,000. We have the actual cost will be higher than that, due to adding in fiscal year 2015. And so it'll be about $49,000. And again, at the end of the accountability audit, we will schedule another exit conference and be able to meet and discuss our results again. At the end of, once the financial statement report has been issued, the city will receive a customer service survey. So any information that you have, any feedback, we would really greatly appreciate that. And then we just also wanted to talk about the next scheduled audit. The city is on a two-year audit cycle. Since we did incorporate fiscal year 2015 into the accountability audit currently, what you'll see under your next scheduled audit will be back in 2017. And what we will do is for accountability, we'll only audit 1 year. We'll audit 2016. And then for financial statements, we'll audit the 2 years. We'll do 2015 and 16, and that gets the city back on your two-year audit schedule. Yes.
And then, but it does actually reduce your audit costs.
It does.
Because we're going to,
right. So we're
exactly, right. Exactly. 2015 accountability. Right. So our audit report for accountability will actually have the 3-year time frame, and the financial statement report that you have in front of you has the 2-year time frame.
We just wanted to make sure we could get, you know, it's already a little,
Late.
We want to make sure we get that out soon. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to hold up your accountability. And since we didn't have an entrance conference, we really felt like, you know, we just want to make sure we can come out and meet with you and give you more information about our office and kind of really help you to understand, you know, what we're really here for, and just a, you know, an independent set of eyes to come look at what's going on, but we by no means are getting that down into it.
But you do see the rate, the audit cost decrease, and we do charge some travel time as well. And then on the back or at the bottom, we also talk about just the reminder to our clients that if you have federal expenditures in any fiscal year that's $750,000 or more, in federal dollars, please let us know, because it does mean that we will come. We need to be out here sooner because you would have a federal deadline that we'd have to take into consideration.
Okay. And then at the very bottom of our document, we talk about some of the available resources. There's two teams, and their whole business and everyday operations is helping local government, and that's our local government support team. One of the things that is really useful that they help out with is they're the ones who are creating our BARS manual, which is giving you that financial reporting information. Additionally, they run our help desk. So not only, you know, there's a help desk for anyone in government, and if you have questions, whether it's a code that you need to use in your financial statements, or it's a question about how, you know, internal controls over cash receiving, or how to deal with certain bond compliance, those types of things, we have a help desk that is available. Their goal is always at least a 48-hour turnaround, and we try to make sure that we get your questions in the right people's hands. Sometimes they're very specific, and we have specialists in just about every arena in state and local government that there is. And so I guess just really strongly feel it's very important that you can use this whenever you want to. And that's for council. It's for people who are here in the city as well. So it's for any of our audit clients, and we just want to make sure that you're aware of that. Additionally, this team can help you with your online filing. Online filing can sometimes be interesting, and you can get some red flags that can really throw you off. And we have a great team who's available by phone.
Daily.
And, yeah. So,
yeah.
But they're always there, and Dwayne and everyone down there, they're very, very helpful. So, the other area that we have down is the Local Government Performance Center. And this is another group that has a lot of resources available on our website. Some of the things on there, they have some internal control checklists. They have information on some main areas that some of our small cities struggle with is cost allocation. They have lots of best practice type documents on there. Additionally, they perform a lot of, they come in, and what people really like is a lot of their services are free. They're supported through our performance audit division, which is funded by sales tax through Initiative 900 that was passed about 6 or 7 years ago. And ultimately, they're just trying to find ways that they can help local government. And a lot of that is by doing, I'm not sure if you've all heard of the process, and being lean and taking a look at some of the things that they'll do is look at your planning department and see how could you, you know, speed up their processes, or, you know, help with the police forms and everything. So that's some of the things they do. Another thing that they have recently created is a financial intelligence tool, which is called FIT. And for some of you, you may have seen, there's information on our actual website on how it works. But ultimately, it takes a look at your financial information, runs a whole bunch of scenarios, I guess, more or less, and it helps you determine how financially fit your organization is. It looks at your debt ratios, it looks at your cash on hand, and it just runs all this stuff just based on the information that you've entered into our system. And this is up and running for cash basis entities. If you have additional questions, let us know. We can get you in touch with them. But ultimately, it is available once you have your data in our website. It can be really helpful. Some of the ways that cities use that information is budgeting, looking forward, and you can also manipulate these tools to help you see, okay, how is the city, how is its financial health? And what if you made some changes, what would that do? So it's a tool that can be modified for the city's use. And we also can, there's also available when they're doing those trainings. And so it is one of those things that has won some nationwide awards, and it has definitely been helpful for some of our smaller entities.
We use that in our department. Last year, I took it to the finance committee, showing whether we were fit or not, that we were. And it also showed in the utility fund the fact that our expenditures had been over our revenue, and as they implemented those rate increases to pay for the water utilities, it started to bring the revenue back up where we're now covering those. So we used it also to show council the support of their actions and what that did in our fit reporting. So we found it very useful. Participated in the online survey, what other things they can do to improve it, and how we use it. And I find it a really good tool. You can also compare other cities, see how you compare to them. I suggest some improvements even they could do to add another dimension to it, because sometimes it showed, it looked like we were having a decline, but it didn't show the underlying information. Even though that was true, your net increases really were growing. And so I've suggested that they have another dimension to some of the reports. So it's very useful.
And, as Sadie mentioned, our local government website, there's some really useful tools and training. So one of the trainings that is actually available on our website that I would encourage you to go to, we have a training that's for newly elected officials, and even it's also designed even for newly government employees, just to understand the role of the state auditor's office, what is the expectations or responsibilities as, for example, a newly elected official, what are ways that as a government municipality, you can prepare year-round for our audits that are up and coming. So I noticed it's just, I think, a 15-minute video. It's on the website. It's free. Definitely something that I thought was really valuable, seeing it myself.
And they are, the local government performance center is that's the first in the series, mm-hmm. I guess. So the one that I was recently helping work on is just kind of about fraud and what to do and when you should be asking questions and just kind of an overview of what do you do if you suspect there's a fraud within your agency, and what are the steps that you take, and at what point, and when should you call authority, when should you call the police, when should you call our office, and all those types of things. And so it's going to be an ongoing series, and my assumption is it'll go into potentially, areas that, can be confusing, things like bid law and those types of things. And so, and if you have thoughts and ideas about an area that you really feel like all of your, all cities need to know, let us know. Because, again, our goal is to really partner with all of the entities of the audit and make sure that we are helping our audit clients and doing what we can. Because we're all in this together and we're all working for the citizens.
I want to say the training is called An Overview of Audit Services. So if you're on our internet, you can find it.
Or call us. The other thing, too, I'm going to say, we've left you with our cards. All of our contact information is down the side. But Wendy is very, very helpful, and she, one of her main jobs is to ensure that all of our audit clients are getting their questions answered, and we can help you when we can.
So I wondered if you could talk just a little bit about the areas of internal control that you guys review in these
the financial statement audit, one of the controls that we are required to perform is to speak with the city and gain an understanding of what is your process to ensure that your financial statements are fairly presented, the numbers that are in there are accurate in all mature respects. And that typically, you know, for a cash basis entity, as Sadie was saying, is pretty neat. You file what we call the Schedule 1, and you put your activities in your account codes, and we basically, by a push of a button, can generate the financial statements for you. For the city, you know, King County as your treasurer, it makes our risk from a financial statement standpoint lower as far as material misstatements. So we'd be asking questions about what is your process to review these financial statements, the notes to your financial statements, your schedule of liabilities. What's your process to review this information to ensure that it's fairly presented? What is your process to reconcile your revenue, expenditure, cash activities that's in your accounting system to what the county has recorded since they're your treasurer? From the accountability standpoint, you know, as risk-based auditors, we do our planning, then we identify what areas we may want to incorporate into the accountability audit. And from there, we would ask, you know, gain an understanding of what is your process. For example, we looked at credit card transactions here at the city. You know, our accountability process is still in progress, but, you know, on the scope, we did have a credit card review. We looked at compliance with procurement for your public works project. We also performed cash receipting review over at the police department. We are incorporating a more in-depth review of the city's process as it relates to general disbursement. But, you know, as risk-based auditors, though, we come in, we'll gain the understanding surrounding these areas. We may pick some transactions to test, but it's, again, a reasonable assurance, so we're not necessarily able to review every single transaction or review and assess every single process as it surrounds one of our audit scopes.
So the important thing to realize is, you know, we come once every 2 years. Mm-hmm. You don't want us here year-round. You don't want us looking at 100% of your stuff.
We can't afford, right.
Really, you don't, nobody, we're auditors, and we try to be nice, but really, you don't want us here year-round. And then on top of that, it's just what's really important to understand is it's management's responsibility, management being the mayor and council's job, to put internal controls in place and to monitor. I mean, ultimately, that's the job. And because we come in, we're just a spot in time. We come in and we take a look at what's going on. But ultimately, it's management's responsibility to put those internal controls in place, understand them. I think that's the thing. We encourage people to ask questions and make sure you understand those processes, because that's the only way that you can feel confident that there are controls in place. Because we're just a spot in time, and we're also independent. You know, we can't weigh in on management's decisions. We stay out of all of that. So. Are there any questions for us?
I know that on the internal controls, it isn't just policy you adopt. And I've learned over the many years working in finance, it's how you apply it every single day. Because when the auditors come in, you have no idea what area they're going to look at. Payroll, vouchers, any area. So you have to be ready to have everything as clean as you can, because you don't know what they're going to pull an audit. When they do, when they said, okay, grab all of the credit card payments you made for all of 2013 and all of 2014 and put them in our office or in the where they're doing the audit. We give them all of everything. They look through whatever. They don't look through everything, but they may look through every that one, and I'm looking through every single thing that you talk to. And then they ask you, how did you know this? And what is your policy on that? Like, for credit cards, I think I had about a 30 question answers I had to give the auditor on who issues cards, blah, 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 you know, who protects them, how do you know this? All the various things. They review all that. And if they have more questions, they ask more questions. Even though it's a spot check, it's thorough and it's deep when they get into specific areas. And the year before, when they came in and audited, they did a whole bunch of audit on payroll and overtime and on hours and things, and other specific areas where they come in and focus on there. We do not know what those areas are going to be, so we have to be on top of it every day, because we need to know that what we're doing right now today is the very best we can do, with the best practices, with the best training information we can get from them, so we are ready when they come in to do the audit. So, and the other thing is, we're not just stuck in time here just because we have a policy or because we did it that way. Things are changing. You know, there's a lot more transparency requests out there. And the thing I learned from this audit, because I learned from every single audit, no one is an expert, you know, you've learned, is, you know, you hold all these credit cards, you look at all this backup, but why was this car filled with gas with $15? It was for a police officer and he was helping assist. But it wasn't noted that way on the voucher, and down the road, all those are going to be out to the public. So we need to do a better job of saying if there's something, if it's a last year's bill, why aren't we suddenly paying that bill? What happened? Did we not get it? Was it being held up in more discussion? Whatever. So now we have, like you said, the day they talk about this, the day we implement that change, we put it in place. The staff, from now on, here's what we do. And to try to be ready for tomorrow and be ready for more transparency. So that was the lesson I took out of this audit, is that we have good records, we have good internal controls, we have good policies, but we always have to be continuing to think beyond that. What else can we do? What else can we learn? We belong to finance officers, the Washington State, we do sound, South End, where we meet, and they came in and speak on, okay, how do you bring in people on cost allocation? How do you set it up? What are the internal, both the auditor's office and professionals from those areas come in and speak to us, and we take that back and implement the things that they're talking. So it's kind of broader than, for us, than just the thought of it. We know they're going to come in, but I look forward to it. Because every single audit, I learned something. Every single audit, we improve our process. And we're going to continue to do it.
Do you have any other questions for us?
Well, we really want to thank you for allowing us to meet with you today. We look forward to our next meeting, our next exit conference. And again, the timing of that, you know, we're going to work with the city. It's up. We will meet in the afternoon. We will meet in the evenings. Whatever works for you guys, we can make that happen.
Okay, just before I close the meeting, I want to say I received a public records request after the meeting started. So before the meeting ends, would you please, the council members, please, leave all the documents you have and materials with appropriate evidence and make copies and return them to you. So everything that you brought to the office with you, you need to leave it apart. It's a public records request. Mr. Jordowski, you're out of order. You're out of order, Mr. Jordowski.
Show me your law degree and then